today, Dimitri Nikolakakis is joining the show to explain how e-commerce brands are using and will use NFTs to grow absolutely massive super fans. Dragon, let's make it simple, bro.
Let's get into it.
NFTs are changing the world, and change can feel complicated and scary. But listen, you don't need a computer science degree. You don't need to learn how to code. You just need practical skills to win.
If you are here, you are in the 1% of humans that are preparing for this major cultural shift. We're going to keep it fun. We're going to keep it light. We're going to make it practical. Welcome to NFTs Made Simple.
Just a reminder, we are not financial advisors. This is not financial advice, and you should do your own research.
Hey, let's get into it.
Yo, Dimitri, what's up?
What is up, guys? I'm so happy to be chatting to you.
Yeah, Dimitri, excited. You've done so many cool things. And I think, you know, before we get into this episode, I noticed that you are a Bored 8 Yacht Club member. You're a holder. I saw that on your Twitter profile. And I got to know, how did you get into the Bored 8 Yacht Club? And what's been your experience with that NFT project?
Yeah. So that Bored 8 was the first NFT I ever bought, funnily enough.
It was interesting way to jump in.
I know, right? I had a friend that was kind of telling me about all this crazy NFT stuff. This is like mid or early 2021, I think. And I was kind of following it along for a while. And then I just decided to, like, I should probably buy an NFT at some stage, but I didn't want to just buy something trashy that I'm going to burn money on. So it was sitting at about 30 Ethereum. And I just bought it one afternoon. I think it was 30 Ethereum at about 4,000 US per Ethereum at the time. So the thing, I mean, it cost me like 120 grand. And that's, I think that's about where it's sitting now anyways. It's gone up to like 80 Ethereum, but obviously the price of Ethereum has gone down. And I haven't used it that much apart from it definitely creates a lot of credibility in terms of, I have reached out to, so like one example is, I don't know if you guys have heard of Sheldon Evans. I think that's his name. He lives in Cape Town. He's like a big YouTuber. He's got like almost a million subs in the Web3 space. And I just reached out to him on Instagram and I was like, yo, I see that you're from Cape Town and you're also a Bored Ape holder. Let's be friends. And then we ended up
Sheldon's actually going to be a guest on our show in about 2 weeks.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. He's a really, really tough guy.
That's after you introduce us to him.
Oh yeah, we'll see how we go. he's just moved to Dubai actually, so I haven't caught up with him in a while. But he's a really amazing dude. But that's just one example. I think another one is like going to all of these crypto events, particularly in Cape Town, because that's where I'm staying. I've got like a hoodie, a Bored Ape Yacht Club hoodie, and obviously all of that stuff that you buy from their website is token gated, so you can only get it if you're a Bored Ape holder. And then when I rock up in my hoodie, people generally see that, and again, you've got a bit more credibility when you come in, and if you want to set up meetings with certain people and stuff like that, people tend to take you a bit more seriously, which is nice. So it's kind of like, and I think this is what most people refer to as, is like the digital kind of Rolex, essentially, you know.
It's like the standard. Everyone, when you say Bored 8 Yacht Club, people are like, oh, okay, I know what that is, I know what that means. What are your expectations for the future of being a member of the Bored 8 Yacht Club? Like, what kind of doors do you see it opening? Events? You know, the access, I think, is the big... there's all these PFP brands out there, but a lot of them just kind of like, they're like sand going through your fingers, right? There's nothing actually there, but the Bored 8 Yacht Club, I think, is interesting. They've got a big fund. They're building out their own metaverse, other side. It's a lot of interesting things. So is there anything that you and the community of Bored 8 Yacht Club are excited about, looking forward to?
Well, I'm not super active in the community and everything they're doing. I'm kind of more of a passive holder, I guess. But one of the really cool things has been obviously like, one, the airdrop of the tokens and then the metaverse stuff as well that they're building out now. Is like, as Bored 8 holders, we get that stuff for free. I think I had to pay ridiculous gas fees when that drop happened. I'm not sure if you guys remember that. It was like almost like a massive scandal in the Web3 space, just because so much money was burned on gas. But I mean, I woke up when I was in Miami for a conference, and I woke up one morning and my mate was like, go and claim your ApeCoin. You've just been airdropped. It was like $70,000 worth of ApeCoin at the time, right? For doing nothing, and which is just, it blows your mind when you think about it, right? And then same deal with the metaverse stuff. I mean, I've got three NFTs for the other side. And I also just bought a Coda as well, because I think that's going to be like the next kind of Bored Ape PFP. It's not a PFP, but it kind of is in the sense that it's like a subset of their 100,000 metaverse NFTs that do contain some kind of character in them. So I've kind of identified that as a potential opportunity. I think that'll go up a lot. And that's why I bought that maybe a month ago. So it's just kind of wait and see now. But I think they're launching the metaverse in Q4 or something like that, like very, very soon. October, November, December. We're already in Q4 now. So yeah, we're pretty much getting
there. What I find interesting, especially right now when we're recording this episode, is that, you know, this whole flash in the pan of graphic NFTs and, you know, and then it evolved into utilities and communities. But Bored Ape Yacht Club and like CryptoPunks really sits at the tip of that, the spear of what people are now saying is over. Right. So I can see that what I think the value is in Bored Ape Yacht Club and things like that is that they're moving into the metaverse and they're moving into new realms that are the future of NFTs. But it's just interesting because I think that those big name brands are really the leftovers of, you know, I mean, basically everybody was trying to copy that successful thing. So that's cool. I would assume that my last question on this, just because we're curious, I would assume that it opens up other doors via invites to events and stuff that are only for holders and stuff like that, or no?
Yeah, look, I mean, I thought there would be more when I first kind of bought it. But again, I haven't been super active in the community to make sure that I'm like not missing out on anything in that context. So they do have some parties and things like that. I think 6 months ago or something, they had a yacht party in Miami for Bored Ape holders and things like that. But again, being in Cape Town, I'm pretty far removed. I'm not about to fly all the way to the States just for one party, you know? So yeah, I'm probably not the best person to ask with this stuff.
It's still fascinating. It's a piece of history, right? It's a piece of history.
Yeah. And I think their acquisition of, I think they acquired Lava Labs, which is the CryptoPunks, the company that started CryptoPunks, right? And that kind of solidified Bored Ape or the Bored Ape Yacht Club as a historical piece as well, just by engulfing or encompassing the CryptoPunks, you know?
Very, very cool.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I'm glad we kind of talked a little bit about that because, again, a lot of people look at Bored Ape Yacht Club from the outside looking in. So it's kind of interesting to get some feedback from someone who is actually in it. And, you know, when you start talking about, you know, I paid $120,000, $130,000, $140,000 for an NFT, people are like, whoa, that's nuts. But if you're getting airdrop 70K and then you've got this huge long tail on the back end, it's an interesting project. Very cool.
One of the things that I think is pretty cool, because we always talk about like the flex of owning things in that space. The ultimate flex is when you meet Dimitri and he's like, yeah, I have a Bored Ape Yacht Club, you know, NFT, but I don't really use it. that's what I'm talking about. Be like, yeah, you know, I got the hoodie, you know, and we'll see what happens. You know, every now and then I get 70K, but you know, I'm not really into it. That's the ultimate flex.
Well, it's unintentionally, for sure.
So I am very interested in the practical project, Dimitri, that you're building out now, right? And why don't you kind of explain the project to us? And then I want to kind of talk about how you got, you know, how you came up with this idea. So tell us about the project you're working on.
Essentially, so it's called 3Commerce. It's essentially a tech stack and tokenized ecosystem that allows e-commerce brands, right? Think Nike or whatever, any brand that sells physical products online, to release their own NFT collections in order to drive sales, essentially. Now, there's a lot of different use cases and a lot of different ways in which the NFTs or launching of these NFTs can fit into the e-commerce business model to increase their sales. The main one that we're going for to launch is loyalty programs. So essentially, and there are companies that have done this already. I'm not sure if you guys have heard of The Hundreds with Adam Bomb Squad. They did it. Release an NFT collection of, say, 10,000 NFTs, sell them to your most loyal customers, and then give your customers benefits based on whether or not they hold one of these NFTs, right? So, you know, with the example of Adam Bomb Squad, I think they released 20,000 NFTs, did a $10 million raise, which is unheard of for e-commerce, right? And they're like an old school streetwear brand. They're 20 years old now. Raised $10 million. They have their secondary sales coming in their secondary sales commissions as these NFTs trade hands. So they're making or they've introduced a new revenue source from there as well. And then obviously they're increasing the lifetime value of their customers, the stickiness and the amount of times their customers come back and purchase on their website because they're incentivized and they've become part of this like loyalty program or community. And then, you know, as I mentioned, they receive benefits based on that ownership, which can be early access to products. What Adam Bomb Squad did is like exclusive colorways on their clothing. Or like I mentioned before with that Bored Ape Yacht Club hoodie. I keep putting behind me because I think it's sitting in the corner somewhere. But giving token gated access to that content that no one else is able to get. So making them feel really, really special by being a part of that community. And then ultimately what happens is because there's a finite supply of these NFTs, new customers that want to get into the loyalty program have to purchase that pass from an existing customer. So that pass has like a real world, there's a supply and demand kind of element to it. And the pass has a real world value. And once customers catch on to this and they see that their pass is going to go up in value if the brand grows, they're incentivized to then socially share the brand, share it with friends and family and things like that. It introduces this element of ownership for the customers into the brand, which incentivizes the customers to essentially grow the brand and become a brand ambassador. So it's a really cool dynamic, yeah. Sure.
Because just the other day, you know, I don't remember. It was one of the clothing stores, like I think it was Zara. And I have a, you know, I have a, what I guess you'd call it a loyalty card there. And, you know, I get discounts and things like that. But, you know, that's a massively untapped market. It's that moment where they say, do you want one of our loyalty cards? And most people say no, even if it's 10, 20%, because they're like, I don't want another credit card bill that I'm going to fuck up. So there's the portal of entry. But the idea, and I was thinking about this the other day, the idea of replacing that thing with an NFT that not only gets you those simple discounts, but also enables you to maybe grow with the company and things like that. I mean, is that kind of what you're doing? Are you looking to replace that thing? Because that's a massive, massive win right there.
Yeah, exactly right. And one of the biggest things that we're doing that, because I mean, we do have competitors and there are other guys out there doing this. Like I mentioned, there have been brands that have already launched this sort of thing, right? And Adam Bomb Squad, when they launched, they needed expensive smart contract developers in order to do that. It would have cost them tens of thousands of dollars. Now there are other solutions that are coming out, but you still need to, as a customer, have an understanding of crypto. You must purchase your NFT or mint your NFT with Ethereum. You have to have a MetaMask, and it's not realistic for the end consumer. So one of the big things that we're doing that's very different from all of our competitors is essentially it's going to be completely a Web2 user experience. With Web3 infrastructure on the back end to facilitate a lot of these processes, right? Because obviously those economies of ownership you can't have with a traditional Web2 loyalty program because of the finite supply and obviously the verification on the blockchain and things like that. So, and this is kind of the direction that we're seeing Web3 and NFTs in terms of real world utility. This is the direction that we're seeing it move in now. And we've seen Starbucks have just launched their loyalty program called Starbucks Odyssey, and also Reddit released their Reddit avatars, which you can buy, I think, for between $9 and $99, and then you get access to certain communities and things like that if you buy that avatar. Now, with both of these use cases or examples, nowhere on their websites do you find the word NFT, Web3, blockchain, crypto, anything like that. It's very user-friendly and adoptable right now for the general consumer, and that's, I think, where all of this technology is going to go in the future, in the sense that adoption doesn't mean that people have to understand the technology. They're going to use it without necessarily having that deep understanding and having to have their own crypto and MetaMask. And that's the same way we see consumers use the internet today. They have no idea how it works, right?
Anybody that's listening to this episode right now is saying, that's what we need. You know, the idea of being able to, I understand what the future holds, but the idea of being able to interface with the future with your Web2, you know, autopilot, you know, comfort zone. Yeah, I mean, the idea of me buying an NFT with a credit card, I'm going to buy way more NFTs that way. And, you know, one of the things that Mark and I, you know, really envisioned in our podcast is the largest market of the NFT, you know, movement are the people that have not yet engaged with NFTs because they're afraid of, you know, so that's our crowd. So, you know, everybody that's listening to this right now, that's like empowered and they're ready, but you know, the we're in a winter right now. So they're like, I'm going to wait this out or whatever. We just had an episode with a guy that's crushing it with NFTs. So there are fun things going on. But what you're talking about right now is something that the average consumer, the Web2 consumer, is totally comfortable with shopping, whether it's online or in a store. And if they can jump into a loyalty program and say, I own an NFT, and, you know, if Zara, you know, increases their sales by 30%, there's some sort of a kickback or something like that. I would say everybody's involved in that. So that's that's a big, big upgrade, you know, from these other guys that are your competitors. I don't think you have any competitors if you're facilitating.
Not quite, yeah. And I think even over the next 2 years, like the brands that we're working with, at least we're not even recommending when they go to market with these programs to even mention the fact that what they're launching is actually NFTs and Web3 technology to their customers. It's more about people. Hey, we're really come buy your pass, and these are the benefits that you get, and this pass is tradable, and explain to them how it all works. But it's just a pass to get into their very, very special exclusive VIP program, right? Because there is a stigma, you know.
Hey, what's up? Mark here. Just want to take you on a quick break with a resource I think is really going to help you. Some of the concepts that we're covering in the show sound really complicated and really technical. But listen, you don't need to code. You don't need to get a master's degree in computer science. All you need to do is have the right resources. We're going to make it simple. We're going to make it easy. I've got a link below. Go to www.nftsmadesimple.com. That's nftsmadesimple.com. You're going to get a free cheat sheet there. It's 100% free. What are you waiting for? Go get the cheat sheet. We're going to break down some of the key definitions in ways that are really practical and really simple. Go to NFTsmadesimple.com right now to get your free cheat sheet. That's NFTsmadesimple.com. All right, let's get back into the show.
Dimitri, I want to flesh this idea out a little bit because I think it's a really important. It might be a little bit abstract, right? People are thinking, What the heck are these guys talking about? Talking about Web3 integration in a Web2 world. Explain, just, you know, let's take an example here of what the experience is like for the consumer when they land on your website, they land on the e-commerce website, and then, like, what happens next? How do I actually get involved in this program? How do I actually get this token? What is the experience like for me as a consumer?
Yeah, so essentially the brand will launch to their existing customers to start off with. When they do one of these big launches, they're probably not going to be expecting to sell this to. It's like you wouldn't try and get someone that's never purchased from Zara before to sign up to the loyalty program without having purchased, right? So a customer will have already been a part of their program. This brand might have a database of 100, 200,000 customers, whatever it might be. And then they do a big launch for this in the exact same way that Starbucks did it with the Odyssey program. They'll do a big launch and say, hey, we're releasing this new loyalty program. If you want to be a part of it, it'll cost you $99 to buy a pass. This pass is going to last you as long as you want to keep it for. It's a lifetime subscription, essentially. When you're done with it, if you're sick of shopping with us, or let's say, you know, it's an activewear brand, for example, and you're no longer fit and healthy and you have no use for it, you can sell it on so that you can recover the initial cost to another customer or anyone that wants to be a part of it. And here are all the benefits that you're going to be getting. And then in terms of like the actual user experience, if a customer does come through and purchase one of these passes, they'll be able to come onto the website anytime. Obviously, they'll get segmented marketing communications in terms of what their benefits they're going to be receiving are, right? So when a brand does a new product launch and they launch a line of six new t-shirts, and then two of those six are especially for the pass holders, there will be segmented communication going to those customers to let them know that, hey, you know, you guys get access to this because you hold the pass. But they'll get an outline of what all their benefits are. And then from there, they can log into the website anytime with just a username and password. They won't need to come in with a MetaMask, which I think is really important, and then gain all of their benefits as the benefits arise. And then for the advanced users, and because this may be the direction it is going to go in 5 to 10 years time, which is still a while away, but the advanced users can still go into their user account, enter their own wallet address, and withdraw their NFT out of our ecosystem, essentially, and go and list it on OpenSea or go and take it to a different website. And the nice thing about that is it lets us create interactions between two different brands as well as just brands within our own ecosystem. So essentially, if Nike wants to create benefits for Adidas customers, because all of that's on the blockchain, they can create a specific shoe just for Adidas's customers, make it available to Adidas pass holders, and those pass holders can come over to our website or to Nike's website and then gain those benefits. So we can create these collaborations that we haven't been able to do in the past, because usually and typically with Web2, it all comes down to cross-comparing databases and seeing who is a part of whose loyalty program if you do want to do a collaboration. But because all this information is on the blockchain now, it's much easier to do these collaborations and things. So I went on a complete tangent there.
No, this is powerful stuff, you know, and we're right now we're kind of talking about fairly large companies that are going to start doing this. But is this something in the future that smaller companies, I mean, like, I'll give you an example. A lot of people that, you know, Mark and I speak with, Mark owns a podcast agency. So there's a lot of people that are looking to use like simple, you know, monetizing their subscriber list by, you know, having a members area and Patreon and all that kind of stuff. You know, I have a members area for my following. There's a free aspect. There's a purchasing aspect. I would love to be able to have my members enter those areas, you know, rather than just paying me money by doing something like this. Is this something that's going to be applicable on a smaller level like that? Because that's, I think that's a massive market of people that are going to want to take hold of that.
Yeah. So the tech that we're building is specific for e-commerce brands. And in the beginning, just brands that are built on Shopify, which is one of the main tech stacks that business owners use to build online stores. I think there are other solutions to be able to do something like that. And I mean, if you take away this kind of Web2 experience that I've been kind of referring to, and you're happy for your customers or your listeners or whoever it is to come in with a MetaMask, there are definitely solutions for that. Because I know, like, if you look at some other NFTs that I have, Zeneca's 333, have you heard of that? It's essentially he minted 333 NFTs for 3 Ethereum, and it's kind of like a mastermind community. And that's token gated access to a community, basically, which is kind of what you're referring to, right? And then there's another one called the Gents Croquet Club by Iman Gaji. Again, same deal. But you do need, obviously, to have that Web3 experience to be able to come in with a MetaMask. So it might not, for viewers of a podcast like this or listeners of a podcast like this, absolutely, they would be able to get around that and navigate that experience. But if it's just like a general viewership,
here's more difficult, yeah. I think the breakthrough is this. You mentioned before, you don't even mention the word NFT, right? So, you know, I love the idea, and I know, Mark, you know, you'll realize that our listeners would love this idea. I love the idea of somebody having a transaction that they think they're just becoming a member, you know, a loyalty member, but then all of a sudden reaping the benefits of it. And after they reap the benefits of it, finding out that that's an NFT, that's a person that loves NFTs now, rather than looking at it from the outside in and the risk associated with it and all the rumors and everything. The practicality of what an NFT makes total sense, but it's just people are struggling to bridge the gap from Web 2 to Web 3. So the best way to bridge the gap is to show somebody that what they're doing is a good experience and there's a return on it, and then say, by the way, that's an NFT.
It's about reducing the friction, not making it simple. Yeah.
Exactly. Keeping it simple.
To kind of expand on that. Yeah. With like, even though now we're not mentioning the term NFT at all. And I like that kind of switch where later on, once they reap the benefits, then you can let them know. When the market does start going like this again, it's absolutely going to be in these brands messaging like, hey, do you want to own your first NFT? Here's the perfect opportunity. Because that's like, I mean, I'm not sure what kind of experiences you guys had during the last bull run, but I even had like my mom asking me, hey, what's an NFT? Should I be buying one? You know, so then to have a trusted brand actually come forward and say, hey, this is kind of what we're putting together for you guys, for our customers, is a really nice entryway. And it also positions the brand as an authority, you know, and as a forward or more innovative player in the space.
Well, we'd love to invite your mom to be a follower of NFTs Made Simple, because we'll handle that question for her.
For sure. I'll have to shoot her a link.
You know, NFTs remind me a lot of QR codes in a way, because when QR codes were introduced 10, 15, they actually came out in the 80s, QR codes, but they were useless then. They first hopped on my radar about 10 years ago, but I was like, this is dumb. This is stupid. I don't care. Now QR codes are everywhere. I don't even have a business card anymore. I technically do, but my QR code is right on there. Everybody knows what QR codes. It freaking broke the Coinbase website when they ran the Super Bowl ad. And I think we're going to see that happen with NFTs. I was talking to Roberto Blake about this, and his thought process is as larger brands come in and start, like your Nikes, your Disneys, your ESPNs, as they start incorporating NFTs. Heck, we were speaking to Dr. Adam Shiner the other day, and he was talking about getting an NFT at a Tampa Bay hockey game, Tampa Bay Lightning hockey game. So I think is more and more people just kind of unknowingly or unwittingly or just fall into NFTs, it's going to happen naturally. You know, so we've talked about the user experience. I kind of want to talk about the business's experience, though, because I think this is important. I've thought about NFTs, how I can apply them, Dragon as well, but I'm busy. I'm busy, man. I run a business. I run multiple podcasts. I got a family. What is the user experience like? What is the creator's experience like taking their e-commerce brand and applying the NFTs to that e-commerce brand? What does that experience look like?
Yeah, I mean, it's literally a Shopify application or extension that you just install in the Shopify app store onto your website. And then you can do it in about 5 minutes, deploy your first NFT collection. You literally just say, here's what I want the supply to be, here's the price, and here's the launch date. And then it just spits it out and it's done. And then it'll spit out a really nice sales page, essentially, that you can link out and send to your customers. And then your customers can just come through it and purchase. And then the second step subsequent to that is selecting that specific pass or collection that you created and assigning certain benefits to it. So you can select products on your website that you want to make available just to holders of that NFT, certain pages of your website that you want to make available to holders of that NFT. And then within those pages, you can build out content and exclusive stuff that only those guys can see. So it's like click of the fingers kind of thing. It's super simple and straightforward. In the future, we are looking at building out a lot of integrations with other, you know, third-party marketing tools like Klaviyo, not to get too far away from the context of this podcast and stuff, but essentially so that these brands can plug this software straight into their email marketing software and have everything work together so that they can email directly just to token holders and things like that. We're just trying to make it as simple as possible for these guys because it is overwhelming, you know, the thought of launching an NFT collection. Particularly up until recently, you had to have a developer to do it, you know, and now there are softwares and things coming out that make it a little bit easier, but it's a pretty daunting task.
What about the execution, though? Great. You do your launch, you've got NFTs, people can buy them, but, you know, to me, it could have a negative impact on your brand if you don't actually execute on the promise. So how do you make it easy for the creator, for the brand to actually execute, you know, develop a plan of execution and actually follow through with that execution?
Yeah. So in the beginning, we're working very closely with these brands. So actually like holding their hands through the entire process, almost like an agency client relationship, even though we're a software company. And then over time, that'll essentially be systemized out into resources and things that we'll provide for the brand and video tutorials and courses and stuff that's embedded and built within the software. So that they can really get guidance on how to best launch one of these loyalty programs, right? Because obviously you don't want to just release one of these NFT collections and then not give them or forget about these customers 3 months down the line, not give them benefits and things like that. It's going to leave a pretty salty taste in their customers' mouths. But a lot of these brands that are doing this stuff or considering doing this stuff have definitely considered the fact that obviously there is a big reputation kind of point at play. It's not a matter of you if you're launching anything to 100,000 of your loyal customers, you got to be sure that you're gonna, you know, follow through with what you say and stuff, because it can definitely leave a sour taste in customers' mouths.
Yeah, how much time do you think it takes on the back end, right? So you've launched the NFT, simple. You've got an agency that's helping walking you through that process. How much time should I be allocating as a business owner on the back end to make sure that I'm fulfilling the promise, so I'm fulfilling the benefit of the NFTs? And I just want to also point this out there. This is kind of the whole theme of the NFT project is building out super fans. You're building out evangelists for your brand to say, oh yeah, I got the swag. It's like the Supreme effect. You got people lined up around the corner for Supreme because they love freaking Supreme. And that's kind of the goal here, right? How much time should I be allocating towards this on a weekly basis? 5 hours?
Yeah, 20 hours? That's a really great, really great question. I think for the most part, it's almost like an extension of the business's existing current or like existing activities and interactions with their customers. So, I mean, most of these businesses should already have some kind of loyalty program, right? And it's how can we rebundle or repackage that loyalty program into this new mechanism for delivery? So it shouldn't really take that much more in terms of resource and input and stuff like that. And then it's, you know, when these brands are doing new product launches, it's, hey, these six t-shirts, let's allocate two of these to our token holders. So it's not really going to take any additional resources, or it shouldn't take too much. Some of the really cool brands that we're working with at the moment in terms of actually deploying some of this stuff are coming up with really creative ways that are relatively low impact or low resource intensity. So one of them is a streetwear brand that is creating a concierge service for their token holders that if you're a token holder, you can call them up pretty much any time. You get access to a special direct line and say, hey, I'm going to a party this weekend. Can you please put together an outfit for me and send it to me? And then they'll basically do your shopping for you and send it to you. It's like cool little things like that, right? It doesn't have to be like in the traditional sense of like traditional Web3 sort of spending a lot of time building a community and things like that. It's really just pertaining to the existing business activities of these e-commerce brands and kind of enhancing those interactions with the customers.
Very cool.
Well, Dimitri, thanks for hopping on here with us, telling us, sharing with us this project. I have a quick rapid fire question here for you. Before we get into that, tell us, where's the best place to find you and find out more about this project?
Absolutely. So you can go on my Instagram. It's at dim.nico. And then from there, you'll find 3Commerce and the website link and everything like that. So at dim.nico is probably the best place to start. And if you guys want to message me directly, please feel free to. I love chatting and connecting with each and every one of you guys.
Rock and roll. So a couple quick questions here for you, Dimitri, before we let you go here. First question, if you could be any animal, what would you be?
A lion. I feel like that's so cheesy, eh?
It's a popular answer. Popular answer.
Yeah, I'm sure.
If you could sit next to anyone on a plane, who would you sit next to?
Elon Musk. Probably also a popular answer.
That's a good one. Where are you going to be in 10 years?
Physically in Cape Town. In terms of work and business, hopefully still working on this 3Commerce stuff. I think that's got a pretty long lifespan, and it's still so early in the industry. So there's way more juice to get out of it for sure. But I think I'll be able to get at least 10 years out of this.
Cool. Final question here. If you had 10 seconds with yourself 10 years ago, what would you say?
I would say chill out. Everything's going to be just fine. No need to stress so much.
Isn't it funny that that's the most common answer to that? And I hear that all the time, which validates the fact that that's what you should tell yourself today.
That's exactly what I was thinking after I said it. It's like, damn, I should probably just take some of my own advice, because we're always constantly, it's like you're on the hamster wheel, right? Constantly stressing, and then always in hindsight, everything is fine.
So operators do it, baby. Thanks for joining the show here, Dimitri.
Amazing. Thank you so much, guys. Cheers.